and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. And in this episode of the podcast, I'll be covering some of the latest CEO removals or rumors thereof, some revivals of some short-form animation, the IHOB debacle of marketing nightmares, feedback on a couple of the previous episodes, as well as some theories on some films and the AT&T and Time Warner ruling. All this and more on Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
So as I stated before, this is Altered Geek, and we're on episode 275, technically. I say that being that, according to the special episode backlog, I'm on 276, so I'm not changing the numbering as far as it's concerned on the show. I'm just going to continue on from where we've been. So bear with me, depending on what happens in this episode, because I think I'm going to have a little bit of fun with it at the same time. So, we have this big cluster, I guess you could say, of CEOs or presidents of companies stepping down or rumors thereof, you know, between John Lasseter leaving Disney at the end of the year, Disney Pixar, due to his allegations. Not going to go there, but still, he's leaving in December 31st of 2018. And then there's rumors that Kathleen Kennedy might be stepping down from Lucasfilm. And recently also Diane Nelson is leaving Warner Brothers as the DC Entertainment president. And Geoff Johns is stepping down from DC Entertainment's chief executive officer, or chief creative officer, I should say. Sorry for that. But he's stepping down to become a writer and producer for DC Entertainment Films. Which I think is kind of a better realm for him to be. He's definitely a strong writer. And I guess he wants to work on the Green Lantern Corps film. Which is not surprising considering he's done most of the Green Lantern material over the last 20 years. So it's kind of fitting that the man is taking over that area. But filling his shoes will be longtime DC employee Jim Lee, who will be kind of taking over the reins in that department. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of strange, all of the recent changes going on. It almost kind of reminds me of this clip that from Madagascar.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. Kowalski, progress report.
We're only 500 feet from the main sewer line.
And the bad news?
We've broken our last shovel.
Right. Rico, you're on litter patrol. We need shovels and find more popsicle sticks. We don't want to risk another cave-in.
So again, it kind of makes me think of this whole thing like, something's going down and they're kind of trying to get out of the line of fire. Like Lasseter, he screwed up somewhere. Kathleen Kennedy, who knows why she'd be stepping down unless it's to do with like the recent fact that she butts heads with all the directors that have to do with anything Star Wars. And then the kind of torrential flop of Solo. So it kind of, I don't know, like Geoff Johns, I get it. He's trying to save the DC universe. And the only way to really do that is to kind of, insert himself in there, and he can't be running DC Comics from day to day. So it kind of makes sense for him to take on this different role. But the other ones, it's definitely a very, like damage control almost situation. It seems that way. It may not actually be that way.
Hoover Dam. Still in New York. Abort! Dive, dive, dive!
We don't belong here. It's just not natural. This is all some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
We've been ratted out, boys.
Let me fire!
cute and cuddly, boys.
Cute and cuddly.
Let's get this tin can turned around.
Don't you think we should tell them that the boat's out of gas?
Nah.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't help not inserting that. I was thinking about that as I recorded this the first time, and I was like, you know, it would really go well with some sound effects. So anyways, yeah, that's kind of my thought on it, is that they're kind of playing this whole, like, leader roulette just because things aren't going as according to plan, so why not? I thought that would be kind of funny to jump into. However, Warner Brothers does have other things coming down the pipe, such as a Looney Tunes short form revival, where they want to produce 1,000 minutes of brand new animation shorts, between 1 and 6 minutes long, written and drawn by the cartoonists, allowing their own personality and style to come through. So basically, it's going to be in the vein of some of those 1 to 6 minute episodes of the random Mickey Mouse stuff on Disney, where they had various styles and this kind of rough sketching animation that's almost kind of a la Ren and Stimpy or something like that. So you're going to see a lot of different animation styles, a lot of different writing styles, and playing with the same soapbox of characters. But the plan for them is for each season, they're going to produce 1,000 minutes, with the content to be distributed all across multiple platforms, including digital, mobile, and broadcast. According to Sam Register, the president of Warner Brothers Animation and Digital, he wants to put the characters into the hands of some of the various artists and kind of remind people why they fell in love with Bugs, Daffy, Porky, and the rest of the gang. So, of course, they're going to have returning Looney Tunes veterans returning to voice them, such as, like, Eric Bauza, Jeff Bergman, and Bob Bergen. So, it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do with it. I'm more of a Looney Tunes fan than I was, like, a lot of the Mickey Mouse-based stuff. So, I was always on that other side of the spectrum with Warner Brothers. I pretty much most of my childhood resonated with Warner Brothers animation. If you consider Batman the Animated Series, Superman, had Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, Looney Tunes, Freakazoid, Pinky and the Brain. So, I mean, really, a lot of my favorite animation came from Warner Brothers when I was a kid. And while I did have some things that were like Fox or Marvel or Disney, I resonated more with a lot of the Warner Brothers related material from their animated days. So I'm fine with it, honestly. Like, I kind of am looking forward to seeing what they do. I'll be a little sad if they kind of go the route of Thundercats Roar, just because I'm not a fan of that animation style. But again, we're going to see kind of a mixed bag of different animation styles. And so who knows, it may grow on me just based on how it's written. It just kind of depends, but I hope that it's not in that vein. So getting into, I thought it would be funny to cover the IHOB. And, kind of before I get into that, I'm going to play the clip of, the audio that they used when they revealed it in their video on 6/11/2018, which, as I guessed, was not going to be an entire name of the company change. And even various other media, entertainment, or podcasters, radio people, predicted that it would just be a marketing ploy to sell a new menu product, which I thought would be as much, and that it would be burgers. But this is the audio that they played when they revealed it, showing off that the B does stand for burgers, and they were just teasing a new burger menu, They're not changing the name. I ate there that morning, not really thinking about that, but I had a free pancake meal, and I saw the menu that said IHOB. And I know some locations change their signage as part of the joke, but I even told my wife that when we were sitting there, she says, well, they could be still changing it. And I said, yeah, but the product and advertising merchandise stuff in the store would have all changed if they were actually changing their name. So it was definitely a merchandising thing. So here's that clip.
Yum, 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 yum. Yum, 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 yum.
So yeah, it was definitely a marketing stunt, and probably the most beautiful thing that came out of it was the amount of companies ragging on IHOP, and I found it to be entertaining to follow along with as the day went through. Because like 2 weeks before they announced, you know, we're changing our name, you know, for, you know, 60 years we've been IHOP. Now we're flipping our name to IHOP. Find out what it can be on 6/11/18. And they kind of coyly, you know, kept doing it as this marketing thing on Twitter and everything. You know, IHOP, what could it be? And then biscuits, bacon, buttermilk, squash, barnacles. And then they had this stupid beluga. Almost like music from like the Beverly Hills Cop style, saying that, you know, International House of Beluga, you know, just to be goofy with it. And then it showed off burgers, you know, yes, burgers. And somebody actually took pictures of it, and They were like, yes, come try our burgers. Even though they've been selling burgers for years, because I've eaten them there before and they're good. But yeah, it was just weird. And a lot of people felt like oddly betrayed and kind of hateful with it because of what they'd done. But I think Wendy's kind of was like the ultimate. Like, there were some places that played it safe, and then there were some places that were just responding like a typical person would. Somebody says, so Wendy's, you're just going to let IHOP sell burgers on your block? Thought you were the OG. And then Wendy says, not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard. And I laughed so hard at that. And somebody else had like taken a video of their stunt, you know, taking video of them replacing the signage to IHOP. In some areas, which is just weird. A lot of people kind of thought it was ill-conceived as a whole, which it kind of was. But I, like I said, I think the best part about this whole thing was the companies that threw them under the bus. Like, Denny's had this thing where the kid's asking, you know, Grandpa, do you remember the Great Burger Wars? LOL, no, I was chilling, drinking milkshakes, and trying to make sense of Westworld. Which was another kind of Wendy's type of stab. And Wendy's even wasn't done with it and took it one step further, saying, remember when you were like 7 and thought changing your name to Thunder Bear Sword would be cool? Like that, but our cheeseburgers are still better. And then IHOP, you know, tweets back, we don't want any beef with you, we just want to share our beef with the world, which just sounded wrong on so many levels. Waffle House says, even though we serve delicious burgers, we know our roots. Steakums did this thing where they did cakeums because they said, dear internet, we have officially changed our name to cakeums because Steakum just wasn't doing it for us anymore or something. White Castle says, we are excited to announce that we will be switching our name to Pancake Castle. Burger King did a Pancake King. Whataburger says, as much as we love our pancakes, we'd never change our name to What a Pancake. Netflix joked, you know, BRB changing my name to Netflib. The Philadelphia Philly says, we have a big announcement, and then just kind of left it. But yeah, it just, the level of sarcasm to this thing was probably the most fun to watch. right next to that whole Carl's Jr. Spielberger thing that came out just before Ready Player One came out. So it was a really funny marketing ploy, albeit, like it said, kind of ill-conceived, but it was still interesting, to say the least. I was just kind of like, okay, this is just strange on a whole, and I was waiting for 6-11 to come by so that I could find out what actually happened. But it's just, some of that stuff's just so weird in digital PR with companies now on social media, just the way that they go back and forth. Even with like Ryan Reynolds, you know, and Warner Brothers with the Green Lantern thing and the Put a Ring on It, and you know, they're like, we tried, and you know how they had the jabs at the fact that Green Lantern flopped and Deadpool was like taking it to the bank. So yeah, I don't know, it's just it's humorous to me, I guess. How this whole thing kind of played out. So gonna take a quick break, come back on the other side with some of the AT&T bidding of Time Warner and the feedback from the previous episodes. Download the podcast today through your RSS reader, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and on our YouTube channel at Geekcast Radio Network. And we're back. So let's talk AT&T. So AT&T was recently reported as pleased by the approval of their $85 billion merger with Time Warner. The federal judge gave the Department of Justice a Republic defeat and granted an unconditional okay to the $85 billion marriage of AT&T and Time Warner. So, obviously they're going to be very happy. They tried to block it based on the grounds that Time Warner has its own internet and AT&T has its own internet. However, they're two different entities. Like, one provides a lot of services, the other one has a lot of entertainment, so they're kind of trying to pack up and load into that whole method there. So it's only a matter of time before we see something with AT&T channels that have Warner Brothers related material. It won't take long. So, and this was kind of suggested by Scanner51 on Twitter, saying that the AT&T Warner Brothers merger, recently AT&T put a WB channel in DirecTV Plus, all the Superhero Girls episodes, so he kind of knew it would happen. And he says, I know people have problems with AT&T, but they always have been good to me. I didn't really have that big of a problem with them. It was just kind of this whole, like, I don't buy cable, so like I have no use for television, like regular standard television. I watch everything online. But I do find it interesting that this whole thing went through. So it kind of, I'm wondering how they're gonna go down with this road, what kind of implications it's gonna lead to Warner Brothers, that's under Time Warner, and you know, DC Comics and a lot of their properties, with AT&T being the owner. I mean, I know that it's a huge influx of money, and I could be mistaken, but either AT&T and Time Warner, I believe, owns Yahoo, but I could be wrong. So, and I know that like Time Warner owns like CNN and some other things like that. So I'm a little iffy on what's going to happen, because some of these things take a while and some of them don't. But we could end up seeing like AT&T having its own video distribution platform, a la like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or something like that. Either with their DirecTV or with their own AT&T service. I'm assuming we'll still see the Warner Brothers app, because there would kind of be a need for that individual content. But it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out with all the various mergers going on, especially with Comcast and Disney fighting for Fox. It's just getting crazy in the world out there with a lot of these mergers, not really knowing whether it's... I mean, none of it's like an antitrust thing like the whole Microsoft thing in the 90s and early 2000s, but it's still kind of, you know, you're getting big business buying big business, and so it ends up, it could be a good or a bad thing for customers, just like the T-Mobile and Sprint deal that went through, and I'm kind of surprised Disney hasn't wrapped up this whole thing yet with Fox, especially with Comcast throwing in their bids to Fox. I would honestly rather Disney got Fox in to some degree, because then we could actually see a lot of our Marvel heroes go back home and be under the same roof, so they could actually kind of re-innovate all of the universes at the same time. Because you know that they're going to reboot everything eventually. And so to have them all under the same roof, like, I mean, I may be in my 50s or 40s by the time this happens, but... it would be interesting to see them have everything back that was Marvel, as opposed to having Fox have it, because we've seen what Fox does for the most part, or not Fox, Comcast has. I mean, they have Universal, they have NBC. I haven't really seen all that much come out of Comcast stuff like that's been worth anything, in my opinion, but I don't really follow a lot of it as much as I should, probably. But yeah, they're saying that Fox is kind of just playing with both of them, because they're saying all heck could break loose on the Disney Fox deal with Comcast jumping in, trying to throw their weight behind it, despite possible antitrust laws. So I don't know. This is going to be an interesting fight between all these companies, seeing how this plays out. There's so much going on in this world that I don't understand as far as the mergers are concerned, and all this red tape they're jumping through to try and obtain, as my teacher would call it in college, obtain tent poles to make money. Because it's easier to buy something that's established and to create your own. So again, I'm wondering how this is going to play out in the long term between everything that they've got going on. That being said, Warner Brothers does have their upcoming DC Universe digital platform and streaming service eyeing a late August launch. Which was first revealed a little over a year ago that they planned on having their own digital service, which would incorporate both old and new TV shows, of which the two biggest announcements were the renewal of the animated series Young Justice, now titled Young Justice Outsiders, and a live-action adaptation of the Teen Titans comics called Titans. They're also going to have like a Swamp Thing, I believe, and... they're gonna have Doom Patrol, they're gonna have a Harley Quinn animated series, I believe, and then various other of their films. Honestly, like, this would be the one that, if not the Warner Brothers app, because honestly the Warner Brothers stuff would have everything anyway, but the DC Hub would be interesting, because then you would get all of their old DC animated products, films, series, get all of their other films. I'm kind of excited to see what this is and how much it will go for. Because they don't have as many live-action films as Marvel at this point, I don't believe. A lot of this stuff has been on like HBO, part of the Time Warner family. But I'm optimistic to see what they do with this. I'm wondering too if they're going to have comics built into this. It sounds like they're going to have plenty of their animated films and digital library and TV properties. And so I'm wondering if the CW content will end up over there after their contract runs up with Netflix. Or if they're just going to leave it on Netflix temporarily and then remove older seasons or not put newer seasons and make you have to subscribe to the DC Universe service. Because I'm not really sure how that would work overall. But I'm assuming we'll have more information when SDCC comes this year. So it's going to be an interesting development, to say the least, with everything that's going to be coming out. And then, of course, we have like the consistent back and forth of, you know, will Ben Affleck be Batman? Will he not? But they're reporting that the next Batman movie will feature a young version of the superhero, so Affleck probably won't be back. I'm a little sad about that because we've only had him in really two films. And like a cameo role in Suicide Squad. So I was hoping he would be the tentpole of the DC extended universe and in film, but unfortunately it doesn't seem to be that way. I know that they're going for a younger version of the character in the Batman film. But honestly, man, I would love to see Batman Beyond over all of this. Like, why go back and do an... I don't know. I'm sad that Affleck's not going to get his own Batman films separately, because originally he was supposed to write, direct, and star in it, then stepped aside, and Matt Reeves is going to write and direct, and they're going to have a whole new actor for Batman. It's, I don't know, it's kind of, I think, a misstep on their behalf. So, however, they have revealed information of Wonder Woman 2 called Wonder Woman 1984, or Wonder Woman 84, where it's going to take place in that year, and they've confirmed that Chris Pine's returning with a new image looking like he's standing in the middle of a mall. And they've got Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, sitting in front of a plethora of screens, kind of looking at various pictures that are what it looks like outside of a... store, and it's got on some of the video screens the show Dallas, and they've got what looks like National Lampoon's Vacation scene on it, and then a couple other things that are on there that I don't recognize. Maybe Top Gun is one of them too, but either way, it's still cool to see. So I'm going to move on from all of this to another realm, and that being feedback. And you might be wondering why we're not doing E3 in this episode. Well, I wanted to get Birdman on, or Powers, or somebody that's knowledgeable in the entire aspect of E3. I have some games that I'm interested in, but won't be getting any of them because... either A, I don't have the console, or B, I just don't care enough to buy them or to get them. Because there's really only one other thing I want at this point, and it has nothing to do with video games. It's in the Transformers realm. They've explained that Masterpiece 43 is Beast Wars Megatron, and it looks spectacular. And just like the television show. And unfortunately, Masterpiece Optimus Primal being $130, which is a little about the same size as Masterpiece Cheetor, which was $84. And then you look at Masterpiece Dinobot, which is about $250, and Megatron's bigger than Dinobot. So I'm assuming Megatron is going to be well over $300, possibly in that $350 realm, which I think almost prices him out of anybody's grasp. I could buy a laptop for that. So it's going to really kill me because I really want Beast Wars Megatron Masterpiece. And may have to part with my Masterpiece Primal if I want it. Even though I really like my Masterpiece Primal, like I honestly would be fine if I just got Megatron and Primal and then that's it. I would never collect another toy again if I got Megatron. Considering I've sold everything else I own to pay for parts of the site and to pay for things I needed for the computer. And it's just, it's not that I don't want it. I just can't afford it. million other things go wrong, and So, kind of going into some of the various episodes we've run across in the past, the most recent episode being the Why All the Hate in the Internet Fandoms on Overload. This one, there was a lot of ground we could have covered. A lot of it we didn't. There will come a point in the future where there are plans to kind of preemptively head on get this whole conversation restarted and to get a longer conversation on it, but I didn't really want to go down that rabbit hole until I was fully versed in it. But Sam Fryer says, interesting discussion, a couple of topics left untouched. Basically, the broflake phenomenon and how casual pop culture fans insert their politics and hurt feelings into debates about things they're not even necessarily fans of, which I totally agree. And then he says, yeah, it'd probably end up being a 3-hour podcast, being a complicated issue, and never know how many of those folks are listeners. And yeah, I've alienated people in the past on this podcast due to some of my thoughts on politics and hurt feelings and opinions being inserted into the fan base to equate it to what they want. So I totally get it. There's a lot of ground to cover there, and I'm almost not wanting to cover it, but at the same time, there will come a point where I'm going to want to again. It's just not right this second. Being that we're on episode 275, I didn't really want to go down any depressing rabbit holes. This is the second time I've recorded this episode because, quite honestly, the first version blew chunks. I did not want to. I did not want to release it. It was terrible. I was not enthusiastic about anything that I talked about, albeit some of it was in this episode, but I had enough sleep in me to actually cover it correctly and actually enjoy what I was talking about. So it's one of those situations. Like I didn't feel like releasing it on Tuesday because it was terrible. And then on the episode Netflix original series, Brad says, in relation to the Scooby-Doo having a new series, he says, so does Batman, you know, appear, you know, he appeared before and it was Adam West. So if they go for Batman this time, who would it be in the new series? Would he be voiced, you know, by, you know, Batfleck or Will Arnett is who he's hoping it would be with Lego Movie 2 coming out. I'm more in favor for Kevin Conroy because his day is kind of running low as Batman at this point. He's in that Justice League action, and he was in the Arkham games recently, and he's been in the Killing Joke and some things like that. But he's really kind of not in a lot of it as much as I would hope anymore. And being that he's kind of the runner-up to Adam West as far as like the animated Batmans, and I say runner-up not meaning any disrespect for either, but I'm saying runner-up in the sense that Adam West did it when he was no longer on his own series, and so I'm saying that as Kevin Conroy should be the one to do it. Because they did it rather successfully in the TMNT Batman Animated Series crossover comics. And I think that this would do really well with Scooby-Doo as well. And having the Timverse Batman involved. As opposed to like a Brave and the Bold version. Which, honestly, I think that they'll probably go that route. They won't go the Batman. They won't go Beware the Batman. They'll either go with the Animated Series Batman. Or they'll go with the Brave and the Bold, or they may create some entirely different version. And so, honestly, I'm good with either of those three, but I'm really hoping that it's Conroy that reprises his role. I don't think Arnett would really fit as well, because he's even deeper than Conroy. it would be kind of cool if Keaton did it, just because he was the next live-action Batman after Adam West, but I sincerely doubt that he would do it. But you never know. You never know. So, and then one more feedback that somehow I looked over in the process was from Jennifer on the Altered Geek page, saying on the same episode of The Why All the Hate, The Fandoms on Overload, saying that it's just terrible that people waste so much time just hating on something that just turning off the topic is no longer an option, but it has to be destroyed. Almost a la...
Wipe them out. All of them.
But yeah, it was. It's crazy how angry fans get over stuff anymore. Like I admit, like I get mad over some things. I get upset about things. But like ultimately, like I forget about it after I've recorded the episode. This is kind of my talk about it, purge, and leave it alone. Like if I don't like it, I quit watching. You know, like the whole thing with Lethal Weapon. I understood why the guy got fired. But I also said I won't be watching the series when it comes back. Because to me, it was the character dynamic and the actor dynamic. It worked well, even though behind the scenes, it sucked. So, like, same token, like, I'm not going to sit there and beat up the show when the new guy takes over. Like, I'm just not going to watch. Just like I've quit watching 90% of the shows that I was watching, and I'm down to that last 10% of shows that are left. It's just, I don't watch a lot of new shows because much of it doesn't really fit with me anymore. But kind of continuing what she said, but sadly, did you know that the K-J-pop groups get 10 times worse overseas? Shutting down social media is nothing once you read some of the horror stories some of the idols have gone through from anti-fans. Some examples have been poisoned with super glue, received packages with knives and blood, and have been attacked multiple times, which is just... It's just sick and disgusting, honestly. Like, people... The fact that people are putting that much effort and time into destroying something or trying to hurt someone when it's better utilized, when it's better utilized by putting this effort somewhere else, there really is no good reason to sit there and do that to people. And I feel bad for these people. If that makes any sense, like why they put this much effort and time into destroying something. There's so much more to enjoy in life and to converse about. That's the beautiful thing about all of this. If you don't like something, don't talk about it, move on. And that's kind of the boat I've had to get on because I was talking about a lot of crap I just didn't care about. And now I've come to this point, like I have to put everything through into a bookmark in my browser, and if it's something that doesn't pass the I give a crap test when I go to record, I delete it. Which has happened with a lot of stuff. Like I've had TV content or movie content that I've wanted to talk about, and I've just dumped it because ultimately everybody's talking about it, and B, I didn't want to do yet another like news-based show. Like granted, this one's been splintered up in segments, and there's been conversations around it all. There's not just been this dump of hey, it's in the news, don't touch that dial. It's just not something I care to jump down the rabbit hole of anymore, and so I just refuse to partake in it, and it's just easier just to have fun. Like like people can't just live their lives and just leave people the heck alone. Like it's not that hard. And then the final bit of feedback has to do with the GDPR. A fellow podcaster listened to that episode because they wanted to understand it a little bit. It's very much a necessity and a real thing to update terms and conditions and add information to the form and make it kind of easy to read. And it, in all honesty, should be kind of a worldwide thing for privacy. Like, if you want your stuff deleted, it should be able to be deleted, not sold to the highest bidder, like here in the U.S., which I find to be atrocious. I'm kind of on board with what they're trying to do, and I support it, but I also think that people need to not make a mountain out of a molehill either. Like, it's something that, like, I honestly didn't know about it until about 3 months ago, and I was like, well, the current GCRN site really doesn't take any information, so it's not a necessity. The new site will be, so it's going to be a necessity where I have to put effort into it, because anytime you have a form where somebody's filling something out, you have to, you know, they have to opt in, they have to give their permission, you have to be able to have a way to present that information back to them or delete it at any given point in the future, at any request, and it's very much a legal issue that no normal person can understand or pay for if you get caught in that bubble. And so it's not that difficult to do. It's just mostly just covering your butt and having this all over the site. So like the new site will have an opt-in for like cookies and things like that. There'll be various forms to fill out for various issues. Like there'll be a spot if there's a bug in the site, or if you're submitting news or a press release, or somebody's stolen content and put it on the site and you want to flag it so we can take it down or re-edit whatever it is. Because honestly, there's so much stuff that people flag that I just don't catch. To fill out the form on the website will be so much easier. So that about covers it on this episode. So let me know what you guys want to talk about next time. And I think the following episode will be our E3 episode where we cover everything gaming. And I think Booth Ninja will be returning soon. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.